Okay, move out.
You're listening to the Valor Podcast with Nick Lehman, a show highlighting the people who defend the United States of America and those who support them.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
All right, hello and welcome to the Valor Podcast. This episode, I can say that we're getting the band together and they are highly trained to defend our country. But more on that in a second. First, I want to thank our show sponsors, Booyah Media. They helped us with our website and online support. You can see their work at booyahmedia.com. That is booyahmedia.com. The Army Field Band are musical ambassadors of the Army. Their mission is to serve and inspire the American people by telling the Army story and honoring our soldiers and veterans at home and abroad. Our guest today is Colonel Jim Keem. He is the commander of the United States Army Field Band. He has served as commander of the United States Academy Band at West Point. He has led many performances for international military and civilian leaders. On top of being the leader of music for our nation's army, he's an accomplished musician and songwriter. Colonel, it is a great pleasure and honor to have you on the Valor Podcast. And I can say that the band is probably one of the most squared away bands that you have touring the country right now.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on. It's great to be a part of this. Our central theme for what we do and our mission is really all about connecting with veterans and appreciate what you do. Thanks so much.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, when I saw you guys coming through Albuquerque, they're on the Southwest thing. I was like, we got to have them on. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the mission on, you know, you have a literal like band that travels the country and performs for America.
Yes, I mean, they are truly amazing musicians. I think they're great ambassadors for soldiers. And we really go around from smallest communities in the country. We'll play a gymnasium or small community center, you know, something with like paneled walls. It was built back in the 50s for 400 or 500 screaming guests all the way to Carnegie Hall. So it's a pretty amazing group.
Like the Elvis Buddy Holly days when they were coming to run those venues, and then you go to the Refined, we're going to go get some drinks afterwards.
We do them both. Yeah, that's exactly right. We take the good of both.
And so tell me, Colonel, what your story, like how did you, I mean, you're like the 11th Army Field Band commander. I mean, that's pretty rare to have that many commanders or that few commanders in a you know, thing that you're leading.
Yes, the Army Field Band has been around just after World War II. A general decided, hey, I want some organization to go around our country and help put the nation back together after 12 million served in the armed forces, Americans, and obviously a bunch of them didn't come back. And senior leadership of the Army at that time, the Secretary of War, believed that it was important to connect the Army with its people in the best way possible. And music is one of those truly, it's just a great tool for communication that really can't happen any other way. And military bands have been a part of the military since the beginning. So it's a pretty nice mission.
And music in general is nonpartisan. It's apolitical. Like you can throw on a music and it means so much to some person and then it means so much something different to some other person. So
absolutely, yeah.
How do you think it's important to have the arts, the culture, the music of our country interwoven into, you know, the Department of Defense's mission? I mean, there's all kinds of MOSs and things like that, and it's like, oh, we just go to war and all that. But there, you know, there's so many things like, you know, like this, the band, and showcasing the brightest that we have of our country.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm sure we could be here all day talking about that issue. The idea of music is obviously, at its heart, something that's abstract in terms of understanding it. And when you pair it with the Army's mission to defeat the enemy in close combat, like the Army needs to do, you sometimes struggle to figure out, well, why is there a band in the Army? What are they supposed to be doing? And it's an interesting question. I have this asked to me often, everywhere from members of Congress to senior leaders in our Army. And what I answer is, you don't need a radio in a car. You really don't need it to run. It just doesn't need it. But yet we have to have it in our car. If we're going to buy a car, pretty much we're going to have some sort of a device for entertainment and music. And that's just a human thing. So we're human before we do anything else. And music, it plays right to the heart of that humanity and its communication. So at the beginning of every ceremony, you'll start normally with the national anthem. So someone's going to perform it, sometimes poorly. If you have a professional band, they're going to always nail it. And you're going to end with the Army song. And again, you don't want someone who's tone deaf to end your meeting or end your festivity or ceremony when you might be being promoted in charge of the entire free world with some half-baked organization. So we provide in the United States Army the very best musicians in the world.
And just to go to that, did you guys play in the inauguration?
We did, yes. We were certainly involved in the inauguration, standing out there in the rain, waiting for hours, always a tremendous honor and... Yeah, it's a tremendous thing that we get to do.
That has to be one of the coolest things is like you are setting the mood. You know, you're filling that time, but also you're keeping people patriotic. What is that like to be sitting there knowing that your one mission is to do that?
Yeah. It's interesting. When we march in a parade, you really do see the intangible become concrete. You start playing a song, a music, something, and you find out that that audience who's stood by the parade route for maybe 4 or 5 hours, maybe overnight, to watch the motorcade go by, they respond immediately to music. Where frankly, the motorcade is a little boring in comparison. The music, though, they get that. They see the drums, they see the pageantry and the uniforms, and it's something that makes them proud, especially that it's so excellent.
Definitely, and it's so uniform and crisp. I mean, you hear the audio feed at home, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, America, yeah, woo!
Yeah.
And so are there particular go-to songs that you guys have that just, you know, are automatically, like, I was listening online, the battle hymn was like, oh, man, you know, glory, glory, huh? You know, I'm a horrible singer, so don't contract me out.
Oh, that's good. We're still hiring, so. As you know, it's just, patriotic music, in the end, communicates to the American the American story. We go around the country telling what we call the Army story and the story of veterans. And so when you play something like Yankee Doodle, so you play the song Yankee Doodle, it's this simple tune, but then you know a little bit more about the history. So maybe Yankee Doodle was played at the surrender of Cornwallis when George Washington became the commander-in-chief and the president of the United States all at one time. And there was a soundtrack behind that. And the piece of music may have been performed by a French band, really using the tune of Yankee Doodle as kind of thumbing their nose at these upstart Americans who just beat the most powerful nation on earth, the British. And so you hear this very simple Yankee Doodle tune come on, and there's something really deep and powerful about those tunes, especially when it's played by a military band in uniform.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And just to give us a history lesson, how was music used back in the day before the forming of the Army? I know we had the drummer boys and things like that, but, you know, give us a little history lesson, if you will.
Sure. General Washington himself was an amateur musician. And back in those days, when you were called an amateur musician, it really meant that you're pretty good. You just decided not to do that as a career. But he was a very accomplished musician. And in the formation of his first regiment, he made sure to have musicians, a drummer, a fife. Now, those were used mainly for signaling because you could hear it's loud. So it's forward march or sometimes even to intimidate the enemy. When you hear a bunch of drums coming at you, you're probably going to move out of the way. And so that's been psychological warfare since the beginning, since way before modern Western warfare with the Romans. They used...
Psyops.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely. Psychological operations is really what we do. Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about how the band is made up. How, you know, I know it's the Army, so obviously it's very diverse backgrounds and different, you know, service stops before this tour. But, you know, tell me what the audience could see and take back. Like maybe some of the members are, you know, had a couple combat tours or things like that.
The Army Field Band has a concert band. We have a chorus. We have a jazz band, like a big band, sort of like a Glenn Miller type World War II group. And then we have a popular music group called the Six String Soldiers. Those are kind of the components. We often do concurrent, same time. We'll, one of us will be in, like now, Memphis, and the other group will be in Albuquerque performing. And to do that, you have to have varied skills, and you have to have people from wide backgrounds. We do have soldiers who have deployed in our organization. Most of our organization, though, is made up of musicians who came out of a school, or perhaps two or three. I think we have around 75% of our organizations has a master's degree or above, and they come to be in a world-class organization with other musicians of their ilk, and they want to be able to serve their country in this unique way because they definitely understand the idea that there are people out there who are running point, standing point guard right now. And we're able to kind of put a face on that service where they may not be able to have this interview or may not be able to perform for thousands of people or on television, but we can represent that excellence and that dedication in that way. So we have great diversity in our group. You name it, we have it.
What does it take to... You guys have like 60 plus members, right? And so what does that look like, load in, load out? You know, it's the Army, so you guys obviously don't have like roadies or
things
like
that. It's impressive, I will tell you what. So just to give you an idea, we started a month ago now, a month and a few days. This is our 36th day of tour, and we've performed in 31 venues performing large concerts, and we've performed additionally in 25 different colleges and 15 different secondary schools. And each time there's a load in, load out of equipment, stuff, there's sound equipment, there's obviously all the instruments, there's stands, make sure to set up the chairs. And this happens every time. Sometimes, like today, we were at Alamogordo, New Mexico, traveling over 200 miles from Alamogordo to Albuquerque. We hit the ground in Albuquerque and set this stage up in about an hour and a half. We have somewhere around 15 tons of equipment that we're pushing around, protecting it, because some of it is very delicate. Right, and we're taking care of it because it's got to be ready for tomorrow night in Socorro. And so that's part of the challenge. It is very military. As a matter of fact, every hall tells us after we leave concert hall, we've just never seen anything like this. You guys are like ants. And we say, we're the Army.
You know, no destroyed green rooms, no destroyed hotel rooms.
It's crazy.
Most polished.
Yeah, it is. I don't, hopefully we can take care of the place last night. The 40th day of tour becomes kind of crazy.
Oh, I bet. And go, on top of that, you guys got to remember everything and categorize everything. And so what's the makeup of the band? Like, you know, you guys have different sections and things like that. What can people expect to see?
Sure. So we have a concert band that's made up of about 65 musicians who represent probably the very best concert band in the world. Why do I say that? Because this is a group that performs about 140 concerts a year. There's no other band, and really no other orchestra in the world that does that many performances, especially on the road. So you're talking about, we have flutes and clarinets and oboes and a full brass section and percussion. Absolutely a wonderful musicians. They'll be playing music from World War II, from that era, all the way into classical transcriptions that were written for Rossini opera. And you'll hear, we also have a chorus. We have a 28-piece chorus called the Army Soldiers Chorus, one of the best mixed choruses in the world. The envy of other countries that wish that they had that.
PSYOPs, all about PSYOPs.
It is. It's all about we're the biggest, baddest, and that's us.
And so what is that like to play, you know, for international leaders and military leaders? It's like you're not the main piece, but you're kind of like the centerpiece. And you have all these, you know, big wigs that are talking, you know, foreign policy and all that, and you're kind of the background music, but you're kind of setting the tone and the environment of the evening.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, some, you know, we, just like any soldier, first of all, we don't do what we're told to do. and then we have to show some initiative. And so we'll do everything from play music in the background where you won't really, you'll think it might be a Muzak from Elevator Music and you won't really know we're there. You see somebody in uniform and you hear this music and it just makes you feel good. To a special presentation that maybe guests, maybe foreign guests, maybe I've been fortunate to perform for heads of state many times in the White House and for senior leaders in all branches of the military, where they will, again, psychological operations. It's you bring someone in from a nation, a foreign nation, and you bring them into a living room, you feed them a great meal, and they do, and we come in and we do our job, and that would be, we'll maybe perform a song in their language at a really high level, perhaps better than they've heard any other group perform it in their own language, and that's intimidating. It's also touching. So sometimes I've been told by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you as a musician were able to cut the ice, break the ice, if you will, and the tension in the air by performing something that obviously meant something to that audience. And you, your professionalism and ability to know what that piece is, and then to be able to pull it off in a live environment, opened up the communication and kind of softened our communication. So we were able to really openly talk about some very significant issues. And that's incredibly rewarding.
Has there ever been one of those moments where you're just like, that's so-and-so of, you know, international whatever? I mean, you've probably seen the who's who's of the movers and shakers of the world. Who have you seen and what have you been like, is this real?
That's happened to me more times than I've ever deserved. And I'll tell you, several times I've performed in places where I will look out and I will recognize that this is the cabinet. So we have the entire leadership, all branches of government sitting in front of us, and we're performing something like America the Beautiful. I mean, what can be more perfect than that? I've been able to sit beside Ray Charles and play piano duets with him. Why? Because I serve in the military and I was over in Frankfurt, Germany. He was playing a concert and we were accompanying, doing some music with him. He found out I was a pianist. He said, hey, sit down, let's play something. So here I am playing with Ray Charles on the piano. And it, you know, it's just, it's an incredible thing to be able to do. And it's because I represent something greater than myself. It's not about me.
Man, that's a party story right there.
Yeah.
There I was in France.
Yes, isn't it something? Yeah, absolutely.
And so what is it like to, you know, you don't really see the audience because your back's towards and you're conducting. What is that to lead your crew? I mean, that has to be pretty exciting and there's all kinds of emotions with it.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing like live music. You know, you can record it, you can watch it on DVD, you can see it on television, but when it's live, especially with about 90 musicians like we have, there's a power that nothing can replace because you start recognizing that these are individuals working as a team, the same way that the military does, the same way that any successful group does. And you watch them working at this incredibly high level of accuracy, expertise in a very evolved subject like music that has been evolving for thousands and thousands of years. So it's almost like mind reading happening in front of you, and you're watching this. And at my, you know, what I do is I try to keep this all together and make it mean something to that audience. And I feel the audience. They're always right there. I know where they are. And when you turn and you, you kind of check to make sure they're still there, they're still there. It's very powerful stuff.
And how should an audience member act at one of these things? I mean, I know it's a, you know, it seems like it's an orchestra band and all that. And to me, I'm like, you know, America, woo! Like let's get the eagles on the perch. Let's get them flying, you know, with fireworks. You know, how should we act at these things?
Yeah, release the Kraken. Yeah, right. Just go crazy. You know, that's an interesting subject. Oftentimes we will play, you know, it's interesting. Communities have a different feel. So if you're in a community out in the middle of nowhere that might be, you know, a few thousand people within hundreds of miles, they're not too afraid to let their hair down and have some fun. They really aren't. They have a good time with it.
Mama got dressed up.
Oh, they're ready to get their money's worth. And I guess sometimes when you come to a big city and you come to a world-class performance hall, there's a lot of etiquette and layers of etiquette. But sometimes that's lost on some of the other folks who came from the boondocks into the big city. Or you just realize, and so, you know, I guess one of the most important things about music is that it has to communicate. And when it communicates, I really want, my objective is to get the audience fired up. And it's sometimes awkward because when we're playing something that might be very classically oriented and kind of serious, the audience is really wondering. They're taking their cues from the musicians, from me. What do they want to do? At the end of a concert, I always make sure during Stars and Stripes Forever to not conduct the band or the chorus, because frankly, they don't need it. But the audience, I conduct. I conduct them through almost the entire piece of music. I have them clap along, but not just simple clapping. I give them accents, I'm making them work. They have to play, they have to clap soft, and every now and then I cut them off, and I get angry at them if they don't, and it gives them a piece of kind of being involved in it. And I think involvement and communication are first cousins, and when you start being involved, you start thinking, you know, these people, they are kind of like me. This is cool. I got it.
Yeah, and at the end, you have a whole bunch of Patriot groupies.
Yeah. I'm always trying to build groupies.
Yeah. And so what? We had a question on social media. I asked him, you know, I'm interviewing the Army Field Band. Let's hear the question. So we had one question come in, and it's, what was the most memorable emotional performance you and your team have given that you walked away and said that was pretty special that night?
You know, those are great questions. It's a tough one. One of the amazing things about what we do is we have special nights every night. So we can be going along and doing our thing. Maybe it's not a good night, quote unquote. Let's say we missed some notes, or we didn't do exactly what we wanted to do, or we weren't happy with something. Maybe intonation wasn't quite right, or I don't know, something annoyed us. And we get to the Armed Forces salute. So we simply play the songs of the five services for those who've served and for those families who supported loved ones. Every night, I mean, it's just, it's true. The word inspirational is the right one. It's inspirational because we see veterans who have served. Some may have felt like they didn't know what their service was. They didn't know what value. Some veterans feel like they weren't sure if they fought for the right cause. I mean, these are deep issues.
Oh, yeah.
And we look at them. And their song starts, and you see tears. And you look at their pins that they have, or maybe medal, or some wear hats.
Korean War, Vietnam.
Or sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't. And they'll stand. Some of them that are wheelchairs will do their darndest to stand.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. They're pushing up.
I'm telling you, every night, it happens, every night.
Yeah, that's amazing. And especially like the Korean War and the Vietnam guys and girls, you know, I've come to appreciate what they have done through history and just hanging out with them. And, you know, they're just the same soldier as all the way back when we first started. They still have a dark humor. They still know how to joke.
That's right.
But they just got a raw deal and didn't get a good welcome home, so to speak. So what inspires you with music? What are some things that you know, get the kernel going? It's like, you know, that's some good music there. And, you know, I know you have a good taste in it. So what do you got?
I like it when these world-class musicians who've practiced hours and years, and they've been the big fish in big ponds musically, and they've joined the Army. And just like any other soldier, they wonder if their service is actually doing anything. And I call it that kind of moment when you see that they get it. They look out, or they'll maybe talk to me later after. They'll say, man, that one moment was incredible. Did you see what happened when we started singing Hoorah for the Flag of the Free? Did you see the audience? And I say, yeah, I saw it. And that's that connection. So it's powerful. It's beyond music because it's truly communication. It's using these tools, these really sharp tools that these soldiers have, and using them to just cut right to the center. It's beautiful.
And what's in your playlist? What's a go-to playlist the Colonel has in his smartphone or his listening apps? What do you got?
Well, a playlist is complicated. It's funny because right now I'm thinking about some programs that one of my homework assignments for this evening is to write programs for the summer and the fall. So it's going to be hard for me to go back and tell you that I'm going to listen to some Journey and some Billy Joel, after this. But that's I'm of that era. So those are the guys that speak to me. Everything from Pink Floyd to Metallica to country music. I love early rap and I still listen to Eminem. So nice. I mean, I listen to all sorts.
Slim Shady.
I listen to just about everything, and then all of a sudden I'll put on some a Bruckner symphony and just sit and listen to it because it reminds me of some things that I played before. And love.
That's awesome that you have appreciation for all types of music, and even the shout out to the days where they actually had lighters, not the cell phone.
Yeah, I remember those days. Yeah.
Yep. $2 tickets. I mean, I'm.
Yeah, yeah. You're dating yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think I was born during that time.
That's
anyway,
good.
So what? How do you keep a band motivated through this tour? I mean, I know. The musician fatigue, creative fatigue. It's like, it's kind of the same thing over and over, but yet we have different audiences, different things. But, how do you keep the band fresh?
Well, to try not to be too trite, we have to remember, and we remind each other, that it's certainly not the first time we've played the national anthem or Stars and Stripes Forever or Battle Hymn of the Republic. But we recognize that in some cases that audience is hearing us perform it for the first time. And in some cases, dependent, this may be a turning point in some person's life. We never have enough sensitivity. We're very sensitive about our own feelings, but we're not always sensitive to an audience member. And so I know, tonight we'll probably face 2,000 audience members. This place will be packed. And the kind of just using figures, you can imagine that there's a lot of people out there in that audience that are hurting for different reasons. Some people may have lost a loved one. Everything from they could have. You never know what their story is, and they could be reliving things during the performance that brings back not necessarily all good memories. Some may be terrible. And so if we remember all that and we focus, it's actually kind of hard not to be inspired.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And those songs that, that's what my great-granddad sung to me when, those type of things. Like, those good 50s and 40s songs that were in World War II that kind of got the troops and the citizens, jiving and dancing around the living room.
Yeah.
I think we need more of that. I mean, we throw our headphones on and... I mean, this is just kind of an aside, but I mean, the dance halls are almost non-existent. And I think, the community needs to come together more as like what you guys do. And, let's get the band together, have a party.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, there is something about strike up the band, an old saying that probably comes back from World War I era. When you strike up the band, then the rest kind of works. And you recognize even modern parties. I don't know what they'd be like without music. I don't even know if it could be a party without music.
Gregorian chant.
Well, that's a different kind of partying.
Well, Colonel, how can people get involved? I know you guys have a website and it has a tour schedule, and I know you guys are so popular. You have different sections and sites that you're visiting for like 4 or 5 years. So tell them how to get a hold of us, get a hold of you, and get patriotic.
Well, interestingly enough, it's not hard on today's social media to find a lot of information about different people or groups. And ours is obviously one that you can find pretty much anything you want. We have websites, armyfieldband.com, and we have those kind of things. I guess the message I would like to send is for the listener out there, and I know you're going to have a pretty sympathetic listening audience to this, but I think it's still worth saying. We need to ensure that we're always mindful that there are people out there serving something that that is often forgotten and perhaps trivialized even by the soldier or the service member. And it's important. In other words, what they're doing by following orders, you know, we get so political, wondering about what's right and what's wrong. The most right thing is what service members do by dedicating themselves to an ideal, to protecting, defending the Constitution. We can't ever forget that point. So that's our main point. If I could, you know, talk to your listeners about something, is just, you know, remember those veterans, however we do it. And it's not about, you know, we are the Army. I tell the band that. I say, we're not the Army field band. We're not the soldiers chorus. We're in the Army. We're the Army. And in the end, our value is that we are going to protect our Constitution. We're going to defend it. And we do it in perhaps a little different way than some other soldiers, but it's nonetheless effective.
Well, if worse comes to worse, you could use the instruments as a weapon.
Some are pretty heavy, yeah. And some are sharp.
Hand-to-hand combat. That's all I'm saying. finally, to tie it up.
Yeah.
I did a little military humor. You know, the musicians, you hear about the writers, and they like all blue M&Ms and all that. If your group, and I know they don't have this, but if they had a writer, what do you think would be the go-to MRE, the meals ready to eat?
Yeah, that's good. Well, as you know, if you just have Tabasco in it, it's probably edible. You know, for me, because I'm a New Mexican, I like to have green chili and everything. So it would definitely have green chili as long as I'm the commander. I'm always partial, I must say, to spaghetti. And I know, thinking about it now, when I don't have to eat it, it seems kind of gross. But when I have a choice, I always grab the spaghetti. So maybe that's it.
That's a solid choice. I one time, I was just an aside, but I had to... I didn't have to, but I got to deploy out with a National Guard unit, and we ate 30 days of MREs out in the field.
Nice.
And so, you know, we learned all the tricks and everything, you know, I was like, and how to barter and what was worth. It was a great experience. So, Colonel, thanks for coming on, and thanks for sharing your story and sharing your team and your band story. I can't wait to listen to them and get more involved. Make sure to like us on Facebook. And you can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or any podcast management app. You can visit our webpage at thevalorpodcast.com. That is thevalorpodcast.com. Finally, find your mission. There are many veteran organizations, nonprofits, and veterans needing your help. I promise you'll make some great friends. And Colonel, you care to fire up the band and take us out with a song? And why don't you tell us what we're going out with?
Well, Nick, thanks very much for having us on, and thanks for what you do with Valor. Really appreciate it. But there's nothing like Stars and Stripes to lead us into the future. You know, this is still a nation worth protecting.
There we go. We're going to head out with Stars and Stripes. Have a great week. We'll be right back.